morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. And once again, we are spotlighting and highlighting local businesses for your information purposes. And hopefully shop locally, eat locally, buy locally, and hang around locally. So this morning, I have with me someone I've known for a long time, a wonderful family, and there's a lot of pedigree here. His name is Steve Miller, and he owns Miller Art Supplies and Frames on West Street. And good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Well, I'm older, fatter, and balder than the last time. I'm priding myself on being here.
Well, so, I only have trouble with the first part, the balder part. I'm still doing okay with that one.
Yeah, you look great. I'd give anything for that hair. Mm-hmm. I think just for folks to understand something, and then I'll let Steve describe all that they do, and they do a lot. But for many years, the Colonial Theater that we enjoy so much now was maintained by the Miller family so that could be refurbished. And that's where I first met Steve when he was working there. If my research serves me correctly, you started the business in 1954.
52. My dad, 52.
Okay. So, and how long were you with the Colonial?
We were in the Colonial just barely short of 50 years.
Wow.
49 and three quarter years we were there till 2002.
And I will tell you, folks, they maintained at their own cost, they maintained that wonderful structure to be what it is today. And for that, we owe you and your family. And I enjoy the Colonial immensely.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And now Steve is down at the old Adams Supermarket on West Street.
Correct.
Miller Art Supply is a staple in the city of Pittsfield. I can remember as a kid, my dad driving us down to get, poster board for projects, mm-hmm. and things like that.
Yeah.
You do so much. You're into framing. You're into all these things. Give a 30,000-foot overview of what's at Miller's Art Supply.
Well, we do, to put it generally, we do art supplies, picture framing, paint and wallpaper. The art supplies and the picture framing are the bigger portions of our business. It's morphed that way over the years. It's about half and half. We have a complete range of fine art supplies. We carry some craft supplies as well. Custom picture framing, we have the largest selection in the area of choices. And you know, when someone comes in with a picture, you're under no obligation. We'll go over the choices with you, and then it's totally up to you as the customer. Paint and wallpaper are what my father and mother started with before they moved into the Colonial. They started this paint and wallpaper store on First Street, and we have kept that, but that has become a very small portion of our business.
Wow. Yeah, and you know, the art and the picture framing and the diploma framing and all that kind of, that in and of itself is an art. I mean, I know people say, well, I'll go out here and I'll, but you can tell, like me, you can tell it's just not professionally done.
Your choice, you can come up with, shall we say, better choices that will make your picture look nicer. Most of the time, if we're custom creating, whether it's a mat and a frame or not, whether it's just a frame, depending on the type of picture, we do all types of things, from felt pennants, we do sports shirts, sports jerseys, besides prints and original artwork. So we do needlework as well.
You know, going back, Steve, I'm doing why we got into this is some businesses, COVID has been tough, and
agreed.
And a lot of folks, we heard from some folks in Pittsfield, because we are Pittsfield Community Television, we are Pittsfield Community Radio. We felt that we would offer this service of a overview of businesses. Local home businesses, to help people, because we had heard some people came and actually came to me and said, you know, if we don't have a big summer, we might not be here in the fall because COVID stretched their lines of credit, stretched everything. Yeah. How did COVID affect you and your operation?
The biggest effect to us was staffing. It became very difficult here and there as employees left, very difficult to replace employees. And people that have either a pre-knowledge, especially of art supplies, or an ability to understand them. We can't just put somebody out on the floor to help you. And, you know, if they don't at least have a limited ability to understand or know previously, especially art supplies. So for most of COVID, with the exception of maybe 7 to 10 weeks of that time period, I was the only salesperson on the sales floor in the store. I still have my picture frame, my people that do the picture framing for me, and I've had them all along. But on the floor, it was very difficult. So over the two-year period, business was okay. It was certainly, we had to be closed the first couple of months like everyone else had to be. But I was coming into the store to do paperwork and things while we were closed. And within a couple of days, somebody saw, you know, and I had maybe one or two lights on. I didn't have the whole store lit up. I didn't have the open sign on, but somebody came that I know, one of my regular customers, said, are you closed? I said, yeah, the city has mandated that everyone has to be closed. I said, do you need something? He said, well, I need it. I don't remember what the person needed. It was fairly simple.
Yeah.
I said, come on in. I can sell you the stuff. And I did. So for the 2 months, I would see maybe half a dozen people at most during the course of the day.
Yeah.
You know, later on, right before the city and the state were going to raise their requirements and allow people to go back into stores, there was an article in the Eagle about the fact that it was from the mayor and from Representative Pignatelli. They said, we're aware that there are a good number of businesses in Pittsfield that are seeing people one at a time. And that's exactly what my door, my inner door was locked the entire time. You had to come knock on the door and I had to let you in. So that's what we did. And then once it opened back up, things became pretty regular fairly soon. I think there's still a little bit fewer people that are coming into the store, but the people that are coming into the store are spending a little bit more. So it balances out.
Yeah, and you know, I hope we've, all of us, I hope we've learned from it, the COVID. The more and more the information is coming out is kind of in conflict with what we all did. But, but you know, local businesses like yourself, even though you've been around a long time, that had to hurt the bottom line.
You know, it did a little bit. You know, I'm also, the art supplies is kind of tied to the craft business. So people being forced to be home,
yeah,
out and about looking for more craft things to do while they were home. They're getting bored.
Yeah.
You know, at some point you get tired of entertaining yourself on the computer and you want to do, you want something else.
Yeah. That I admire what you've done through the years and going back and you've been a staple of Pittsfield, your organization, your family, for a very long time. And I'm so glad you're keeping this tradition going. Folks, if you haven't been, I would just encourage you to stop in Miller Art Supplies. Don't worry about parking. He's got enough parking.
That used to be an issue when it was at the Colonial. Parking was always an issue.
Yeah.
And I won't go into details, but we tried to acquire or rent some parking spaces at some of the places nearby, and it didn't work out, and we were never able to. And in the old, and when we were at the Colonial, we only had room for maybe 4 or 5 cars. Well, we had sometimes more employees than that.
Yeah.
Not everybody drove, but it was very tight for people to turn around and do things. So a lot of people would, in when we were on the Colonial, a lot of people would come early in the morning because they could find a parking space. They'd come later in the afternoon, same thing. They could find a parking space on the street.
Yeah, and I will tell you, again, just for people that are tuning in, because we are a morning show, this is Steve Miller, Miller Art Supplies and Frames on West Street, used to be the Big Y. And Steve will get into all the kinds of stuff they have in just a minute. But I think one of the things that we all need to be thankful to the Miller family, and Steve's parents, of course, have passed, but they maintained the Colonial so that it could be refurbished. Unlike the Palace, unlike the Strand, unlike the State, they're all gone. Mm-hmm. And without the gift of the Millers to do that, I don't know how that would have been a loss of an icon, in my opinion.
Originally, when my father was looking to move off of First Street, and he had a small store right across from Dunkin' Donuts. He had gotten friendly with the Goldstein family, who owned the Colonial and all the other theaters west of Worcester. And the Colonial during the 40s had become, it had been closed for a little while from the late 20s to the early 30s. It was actually sold to Paramount Pictures during that time period. So Paramount Pictures wanted to make it a movie theater and take it out of the vaudeville stage theater era. But it took them a while to do that. So by the time the theater was reopened in the mid-30s, the Palace and the Capitol had already opened. They were slightly smaller. They were more intimate. They were newer. So in those days, in the 40s especially, the Colonial became a place for second-run movies. And so it was kind of open and kind of closed during the 40s. And finally, late in the, somewhere around 1950 or so, the Goldstein family decided they wanted to put the building up for auction. They weren't in a position of having financial difficulty. They just recognized it wasn't performing that way.
Yeah.
So they, in 1952, they put the building up for auction.
Wow.
They received 4 bids on the property. 3 bids, the people said, I'm going to tear the building down and we're going to create a parking lot. Now, that would make a parking lot 80 by 200, kind of like what was up at the showcase or the stage. Something pretty narrow, not really wide. My dad, the only thing he said was, I don't know what I'm going to do with the building, but I won't tear it down. That's all he was able to say at that point. So he acquired the building, and he was not the highest of the 4 bidders.
No.
He was the lowest of the 4 bidders. But he had said, I won't tear the building down. And the Goldstein family didn't want to see the Colonial disappear, because the identical theater up in North Adams had burned down in 1916 or so. So, and they recognized that acoustics-wise, the Colonial probably has maybe the fifth best acoustics in the country still to this day. It did change a little when they did the restoration. They had to make a financial decision as to whether they put in a curved floor or they put a couple of steps under the balcony. And they went along with the steps under the balcony. It was going to be a little less expensive to do that. But that changed the acoustics, because if you walk into the Colonial Theater and you look around, other than those stairs, you will not see any corners anywhere in the theater. And that was due to the original architect, whose name is not on the plans. A local architect's name is on the plans, but his name was Joseph McElfatrick, and he designed about 300 or 400 theaters up and down the Eastern Seaboard, down as far as Mississippi, and there's still one down in Mississippi of the same style of theater, but it's called the Theory of Concentric Ovals. So there's only curves in the building, so the sound moves; it doesn't bounce.
Wow. Yeah, and even today, I mean, we just saw a $1 million quartet there, and I have to tell you, the acoustics are just absolutely unbelievable. My father, if I remember correctly, and of course, you know, by now, you know, that's not probably happening, but my father told me when we were going in there one time to get poster board. That is, as a young man, he watched Al Jolson on that stage.
I don't know for sure if Jolson was there. I know lots of people, the Barrymores were there.
Yeah.
There was a lot of rumors that the Three Stooges were there. The Three Stooges were never there.
That's
they
right.
did not perform. And at this, you know, the late Bob Boland, the dear friend of ours, was the historian of the building. And that has been it's been taken over. Bill Munn, who worked with him, has taken over being the historian. They discovered, you know, lots of people in terms of doing the research who had been there, you know, just checking old Eagle newspapers. You know, Edith Luckett was there. She was Nancy Reagan's mother.
Yeah.
You know, she was there in the teens, in the 19-teens.
And folks, if you, and some of you, and what I will say for the current management of their Berkshire Theater Group, Kate McGuire and that whole team, it's, and I think Steve will agree with me. It is the people's theater. You can go dressed in shorts and a t-shirt. They don't care. You don't have to have a tuxedo on. And some of the performances they have there, they're just absolutely amazing. Now, Steve, let's get some information out about you. What are your store hours?
We're open Monday through Saturday, just after 9 o'clock, because invariably I'm a few minutes late, until 5:30. So it's 6 days a week. We're only closed the major holidays. Other than that, we're open and I'm here most of the time.
And the phone number is?
413-442-6988.
And if you had to identify what are like your specialties, why, you know, I know the framing, you started that, but get into that. But also the art supplies, and I didn't know craft supplies.
Well, you know, art supplies and craft supplies are somewhat together. Most craft stores don't carry a lot of art supplies. Most art stores don't carry a lot of craft, but we do. There are craft paints, but in turn, we have a full range of fine art supplies. We have paints. There's oil colors, acrylics, watercolors, water soluble oils. There's all different types of pencils, colored pencils, charcoal pencils. There's pastels. We carry canvas, all different types of canvas to paint on. Just about anything fine art supplies wise, we carry.
Wow.
And if we don't carry it, we can get it.
What's all this here? My computer just, there we go. For some reason, threw up something else. One of the things too, when you go in there to the art supply store, either Steve or the help, they're really helpful. Because sometimes I'm looking for like weird stuff, you know, you've always been customer service driven.
We try to make sure that, you know, you're coming to me as a specialty store for a reason. And the reason often includes you need something, but you're not sure what it is you need. And we, based on experience, often can help. Not always. Sometimes there's stuff we just don't know. But for the most part, we do. And we can usually help you get the right.
Steve, I can't believe there's in the art supply world, there's not a lot you don't know, because, I mean, you've got almost quite a few years.
Yeah, it's a couple of years now. I'm well past 50 working in the store. I started working in the store as a teenager. I had gotten tired of going to camp, and I wanted to go to shop classes were being given at the high school, which was only a block from my home. I wanted woodworking and I got metal shop. I went there for 1 or 2 days and I said, nope, this isn't for me. So I started working in the store.
Well,
you know,
I know the disappointment there. I signed up in the Army and volunteered for Germany and they sent me to Vietnam. I tried to recamp, but they said no. the important part, folks, that I want to get across is that it is a local business, been around. And not only is it a business, going back to his dad in the colonial, It is an anchor for Pittsfield and Pittsfield culture. And I mean that. It's Steve, I can't say enough good things about what you've done through the years. I encourage people to check out Miller Supply East Street. Steve's going to give you West Street. I'm sorry. Oh, God. It's been
it's okay.
Yep. And Steve, give him the phone number again.
It's 413-442-6988.
And please, please, please shop locally, eat locally, buy locally. These are our friends. These are our neighbors. And I understand sometimes you got to do extra work. But you know what? I think, and maybe Steve, you'll understand, COVID spoiled a lot of people. And mm-hmm. it's not that they don't want to shop. Well, it's just to some people, it's inconvenient now where they can get on the, not for me, I can't order socks.
Well, there's, you have two sides of the coin. There's the people there, and there's many of them
that right.
got used to shopping online even more.
Right.
And are doing that. There's also the people that have been doing so much more online, and they really want something different. They want to be right. able to go, they want to be able to touch and feel the products rather than ordering it and finding out it's not really what they need.
That's me. Yep. That's me. I don't know how people buy shoes online.
Yeah, that's a real tough one.
Yeah. Steve Miller is, thank you for doing this. I appreciate
it. My pleasure,
Bill. I hope it helps. And I applaud you. Thank you for lifting the restraining order so that my wife and I can go back in the store together.
Thank you for everything, Bill. It's much appreciated. Your kind words. Thank you.
You're a wonderful guy. And thank you for all that you've done, not only for us, but for the city, for UCP when I used to be there and that, but yep. also what you and your family have done for the city of Pittsfield.
Thank you, Bill. Much appreciated.
Have a good day, and we'll catch up with you soon. Thank
you. Same to you. Thank you, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR-FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from BeFair. BeFair is one of the largest premier human service agencies in Berkshire County. If you're looking for services for a loved one or are interested in caring for the people we support, visit BeFair.org today for available opportunities.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. In an effort to support local businesses, shop locally, buy locally, eat locally, drink locally, whatever. Today I have Caroline Sullivan. She is just a wonderful person, and she runs Devaney Condren Funeral Home on Maplewood Avenue, and she's been there, and we'll talk about that. And again, a very long-standing local business. And Carolyn, thank you for coming on. And how long have you been at Devaney's?
Well, thank you for having me, and good morning. So it'll be 7 years this coming March, so about 6.5 years now. And it seems like just a blink.
Yeah.
Gone by quick.
And Caroline started when she was 11 at Devaney Condren. She was 11 years old, and now she's how old? 7 years. She's a little over 20. But
that's right.
Yeah.
Basically.
But how did, the Devaney Condren Funeral Home has been around for a very long time.
Yes. We actually, so we're not entirely sure if it was 1916 or 1918 We have conflicting sources, but we, for the most part, use 1918. So in 2018, it was 100 years.
Wow. Wow. 100 years and yes. Family-owned, initially family-owned business, Devaney and Condren. Now, what this is always, I have to ask this, and please don't be offended. Whatever possessed you to go into funeral director?
So it's a great question, and I get it a lot. I grew up next to a funeral director, and many people have probably heard the story because a lot of people have asked. But I was raised by a single mom, and the gentleman next door had three girls. They were all about the same age as me, and I was always there. If he was picking us up from sports practice or dropping us off for a school function or whatever it might have been, oftentimes we had to stop at the funeral home. And when it came time to start thinking about college, I always had a fascination with everything that he was doing. So he actually said, come on, see if you like it. So I was a junior in high school when I started actually working at a funeral home in Worcester.
Wow.
And I realized that I could do it. It's certainly not for everybody, but I found just this great sense of purpose in helping people and being able to learn stories and learn the history of the people that we were celebrating. And I mean, it's been 12 years now and I'm still loving every day.
Wow. And you know, that comes through. I will speak for when Carolyn is always upbeat and a delight to me, and working with, to me, you have to have a special skill to work with people at this awful time in their lives.
Yeah.
You know, and,
it's true.
You emanate that. You really do. You emanate caring and compassion and all those things, but you're also a very talented funeral director. How did you learn all?
I appreciate you saying that.
No, it's true. Believe me.
I did.
And where?
Yeah. So I have a two-year degree from Oneida College, which no longer exists, unfortunately. That was in Newton. And that's how I met Mr. Bresnahan. He was one of my embalming professors there. And I think it's kind of neat that I have the connection of being a Caroline and so many Caroline Bresnahans in his family.
That's right.
But it was just an instant connection. And I was lucky enough. I was originally going to move out to the Berkshires right upon graduation, and cool. Things didn't work out with where I was working. It just wasn't time for me to leave. I was still needed. And a couple of years later, it became an opportunity again, and John and I talked, and it worked. Things fell into place the way that they were supposed to.
Yeah. And it's a 24/7 job though. You're on call basically 24/7. You know, in that, how's that affect a young person's life like you? I mean, it wouldn't bother me.
Great question.
So, you know.
I think I'm fortunate where I always knew that going into the business. I saw my neighbor growing up. I knew exactly what was going to be expected. They were a really busy funeral home. So his need to be out most nights, I already knew about that. For me, it doesn't bother me. A lot of people ask, oh, don't you hate getting out of bed at 2 a.m, or isn't it hard? And I guess in some ways, in some days, sure, the lack of sleep is hard. But I look at it, we're going into somebody's home or a nursing home. For somebody, their family is having the absolute worst day. And I think that's harder.
Yeah.
And I feel honored every time that phone rings and we have to go. It's awful and sad for that family. And I'm touched to be able to help them.
Yeah, and that, I see that in so many of the local funeral homes. They come back and the people really care. They really care about the families. You know, I mean, I've been in this town most of my life. I left for a while for work and came back. But, you know, there's appears to be fewer and fewer funeral homes from when I was a kid. You know, some of them have gotten bought out and some of them haven't, and some of them just closed. But what do you, during COVID, and one of the reasons we're doing this, so many businesses are, you know, they've stretched their lines of credit, or, you know, they're, we are Pittsfield Community Radio, we are Pittsfield Community Television, we are encouraging, hopefully, people to shop locally, buy locally, do everything locally. And you guys are a local business, been around forever. And what did COVID do to your operation? It had to be, a little bit different.
It was scary, honestly. I mean, we helped the first family in Berkshire County that experienced a passing due to COVID. And we truly, it was days after the state had just essentially shut down, and there weren't resources yet. There was really just no answers to be had. And I mean, I'm getting the chills thinking about it. It was just so awful, because we didn't know how this virus was being spread. We didn't know how contagious it was. We didn't know if the family members who had interaction with their loved one, if they were contagious, if it was blood, droplet, whatever it was, we didn't know. And I mean, for a long time, we were scared. So certainly, we've always used universal precautions. We treat everybody the same in terms of the chance of infection. But it changed our business in terms of just having to think differently to be able to celebrate somebody. Because with COVID, initially, we couldn't do services at all. And then we could let 10 people into the funeral home. Yeah. And, you know, I can remember a couple of services, they only, if there were 10 people allowed in the funeral home, there's two of us there. So that's eight family members. And what if you have eight kids or six kids and 18 grandchildren? Yeah. And it totally changed our way of trying to do more, because without stepping out of our comfort zone, we wouldn't have been able to still have these services for people. We had to figure out new creative ways, whether it was outdoors or a lot of people, when gatherings could happen again, started doing celebrations of life later. Zoom became the thing that we did for services, and we still have the live streaming, which is great, because before that, you know, Cousin Jerry, who's in California, never would have been able to participate. Yep. And now that's something that it's one of the few good things that came about because of COVID. And we also used our time to renovate the funeral home inside and tear down the old wallpaper, and we couldn't have people inside, but we could stay busy. So we painted and redecorated, and I know you've been in there, and it looks great.
it's absolutely positively gorgeous. But, you know, going back, you're right. I lost two sister-in-laws. Roseanne lost a sister and a sister-in-law. And they were COVID, especially for folks like you, that you're right there with the person, with the body. And so many people, my sister-in-law died of COVID, both of them actually. So, you know, and there was a lot of misinformation, confusing information. And I think you said something that really rang true to me, and I never thought about it, but now I do. It was scary. And I'll bet it was. I'll bet it was.
Yeah. We started going into people's homes wearing scrubs, which is, you know, you think of healthcare. Normally we would come in a suit and dress pants and dress shoes. And it kind of clicked to me that we don't know whether we're coming into someone else's house or if they have something in their home. We don't know. And so why wouldn't we wear something that we know we're entering your home and we are safe to come in and visit with you, and we're going to leave safe. And I think that's just so important. And we still do that. And it never even crossed my mind beforehand going into someone's home. It never was a question, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it just makes sense. It's probably what we will continue to do moving forward to keep each other safe.
You know, it gets me though. I was just thinking about it after you, when you said it, okay, can I have eight people? Why not 10? Why not 6? Right. Why not 12?
Who comes up with that?
Yeah. What, Dr. Fauci? but seriously, you guys, in my opinion, had to fill a gap where the families couldn't be there, where the services couldn't be held, but yet they knew that, and that's all off funeral homes, at least the ones I know locally, that they filled that gap by communicating with the family, by keeping the family up to date on what's happening, and to me, that had to be some of the hardest work, communicating via Zoom, via telephone, whatever, trying to console people who just lost loved ones.
Yep. Especially the family members that were experiencing a death due to COVID, that maybe they were positive themselves, but maybe it was a positive where they were okay. They had a cough and their husband or wife or sister, they've died as a result of it.
Right.
And then having to do this without being face to face, without that hug, that interaction, I don't like communicating without face to face interaction because it just feels so artificial. And is it the way of the world now? Sure. But I think there's so much to be said to be able to communicate and sit down with somebody, whether I'm coming to your house and we're having coffee, you're coming to the funeral home, and maybe just for a couple minutes, we talk about something else because your mind has been going about all of this. There's so much to be said for that. And you need that connection. You need human connection.
Yeah, you really do. And especially in that time. Now, one other question I have to ask, so many, calling hours. When I was a kid, you probably don't remember that, but when I was
like 5 years ago,
No, people will tell you I've never grown up. I saw what happened to people when they grow up; they get nasty.
Don't want to. Yeah.
It used to be 2 to 4 and 7 to 9, and now that's completely. Does anybody do that anymore? No.
No. So I've been in the business again 11, 12 years, I have never seen a 2 to 4, 7 to 9.
Yeah.
And I honestly, a lot of families are either going to doing their service all in one day.
Yeah.
Or maybe doing 2 hours of calling hours, 2 to 4, or maybe like a 4 to 6, something like that. And I mean, I've seen it change just in the 6 years I've been in Pittsfield. It's changed. People, I don't know whether it's they're afraid to come out, or can't, or whatever it might be, but we are seeing a lot less folks coming out to services, but more memorial donations, more flowers being sent again, where flowers kind of fell off for a while, but flowers are being sent at a really great pace again. And I don't know if people are still afraid of the crowds. That's kind of what it seems like. You know, we still do a little bit of the distancing when we can, and lines and the hand sanitizer, and that probably will never stop.
No.
But there's certainly been a change.
Do you think?
Yeah, it's different. And
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you're, do you think maybe it's generational? You know, when my generation, my father's generation, we went to wakes. I think now a lot of it is the couple of generations behind me. It's hard to say couple of generations. Well, that's true though. I don't know. It's like almost like the patriotism, the church thing. Is it that it's send a bouquet of flowers? Well, to me, if I've known somebody and I'm going to miss them and I know their family, I feel obligated to go to the wake.
Absolutely. And I think there's so much to be said about if you can be there, showing up and being there. Yeah. And I don't know, it could be generational where, it's all of a sudden people don't do that. I think it's also, it seems like maybe people don't like facing their own mortality when they come into those situations, and the level of being uncomfortable in that situation, because maybe they weren't brought as kids. So it's not second nature to read an obituary and say, oh, I have to cancel my golf game. I am going to say goodbye. Yeah. It seems like that happens more and more. But I don't know. I agree with you in the sense that it is so important to come and say goodbye, see the family, support them in any way you can. I want to be able to, as time goes on, find a way that we can maybe do something different, because maybe it isn't working for people anymore. So let's figure out a way that is going to work for everybody to come and pay their respects. I don't know what that answer is yet, but I think that's something as a community, we should try and figure that out, because everybody needs that support. They need the people rallying around them.
Especially at that time. That's what I tell people. Well, you know, I don't really like those things. Well, no one likes them.
Nobody does. Says,
oh boy, going away today. You know? No.
Yes.
You know?
No.
But
it's awful. It's gut-wrenching and awful to do it.
Yeah, it's a form of respect.
Yes, it is.
All I can say is that when and if you find that other alternative, I'd love to have you back on, because to me, sometimes it is very difficult to go in to the funeral home, depending on the relationship you've had with the person. You know? And
then coming back too, it's maybe you've experienced a loss in your family, and then you're coming to say goodbye to your neighbor, and coming back to the funeral home, it brings up all those emotions of your family member. And it's that much harder once you've gone through it, been on the receiving line side, and then have to come through again. It's really hard. And I think part of what we've tried to do is make it comfortable, make it a place where it's not quite as hard. And, you know, I think seeing faces that are familiar in the line certainly eases that for people. Knowing that everybody you know is going to be there, it helps, but it's still getting there. It's a journey.
Yeah. And I love what you do and others with the videos and with the pictures, because that brings back the good times. You know, that's what I tell people when they lose someone close, try to remember the good times. That's what'll get you through the sad times. That's just my philosophy. Absolutely. It could be wrong.
I agree with you.
One other thing, less and less church services, I've noticed. More services at the funeral home.
Yeah.
What's your gut?
I don't know what that's about per se. I've noticed the change. A lot of services, maybe even where their clergy person is coming to the funeral home.
Right.
John and I also have started officiating at services.
I know.
And I think that kind of goes back to the generational piece of maybe folks are unchurched. And maybe we still want to do some type of a service, but maybe that doesn't make sense to do it in the Catholic Church, or for whatever reason, family hasn't been to church in 20 years, 30, 50 years even, right?
Yeah.
So then to go back to church for the service, if that's the family tradition and that's what everybody's always done, it's an easy answer. That's what we're doing. But there has been a serious drop off in going into the church and having a traditional mass. I've seen a lot of families, which I think is interesting, doing where they have the mass in memory of the person, and it's not a funeral mass, but their name is said as a part of it. I've seen that more and more. And I think I talked to Monsignor Mike about that, and he said he's seeing it more as well. And people putting names in the bulletins and those things, which for a while that wasn't even being done. So I don't know. There seems to be a change, but it kind of goes in waves too. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah. Oh, and here's my thing too, Carolyn, is that maybe the celebrations of life or the mass afterwards, where the casket isn't there, the boxes, whatever. Maybe it's a form of accepting the loss, but not grieving it through a mass. I don't know if that, I don't know.
It seems like a lot of people that I talk to also, they find their church, if you will, their sense of God and comfort in other places, whether they're out hiking or maybe they're on their fishing boat. And I think that a lot of people, maybe their parents or grandparents, really pushed, we're going to go to church every Sunday. We're going to pray before bed. We're going to pray before we eat. And then all of a sudden there was that cut, and a lot of families stopped doing that. But people are still definitely religious. And it's just now kind of trying to navigate, how do we incorporate their idea of heaven and God and the peace that they could find in another way? If they don't have a clergy person, a pastor, priest, who speaks exactly what they're trying to portray for their person. And I found a lot of people find comfort in poetry and different readings, and maybe even scripture verses, but applying them to their situation.
Yeah. I think you're 100% right with that, because I think so many people today, some people are looking, some people... the world, you got to admit, the world's a crazy place. So if you can make any sense out of it, then good for you, because I can't. But I guess what I'm saying is COVID changed the funeral business, but also the culture is changing it. And did maybe COVID sped that up? Because, you know,
I think so.
You know, people weren't even going to church.
All of a sudden, it was okay. Exactly. All of a sudden, it was okay to not go to church. All of a sudden, it was okay to not have the funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was that, like you said before, I'm uncomfortable going, and now it's okay that we didn't do it. So maybe, is this what we're going to start doing? Is this our new tradition? It seems like that could be the way.
And you know what I also found very interesting, too, was this, that... And I had the bishop on. I did an interview with the bishop, Bishop Byrne. He's a great guy. I'd never tell him that, but, you know.
Love that.
Yeah, very sure. But he was saying, you know, when COVID started winding down and we could go out, we didn't have to wear a mask. And so other people were still not going to church. And he made a very, he said, if you can go to the grocery store, you can go to the movies, you can go out to a restaurant, you can go to church, you know, it just made sense. It really did. We covered, you know, one of the things too, I want you to give the contact information for Devaney Conner, but how did people still died? People still were buried during COVID. Was your business more or less? And I don't mean financially, but I mean just number of people going through the funeral.
We definitely experienced more people passing away in the community, pretty substantially this year. Not so much, which I'm glad. You know, it was a couple of years where it was just so many people we knew were dying, and it was kind of strange, because it seemed like not just COVID deaths, but heart issues, respiratory issues, all of cancer, all of these things all of a sudden. And I'm glad that we're not seeing that as much anymore, because for a little while there, I mean, we were seeing families over and over again that were experiencing these losses over and over. And I'm glad that we're not seeing that now as much. It seems like COVID definitely, whether it was direct result of COVID or maybe if it had long-term effects on somebody, you know, our nursing homes in our community, it was just back to my original statement of being scary. I remember going into Hillcrest Commons 3 times in one night for people that were passing from COVID. And I, those poor nurses and nurses' aides and everybody working there, they must be so traumatized.
Absolutely.
How do you go from your full care units to losing all of these poor souls? And there was really nothing, maybe now we know better, you know, but there was no prepared way of avoiding that to begin with.
And I think we've all learned, I know you have learned for your business, others have learned for their business, because they keep saying there'll be another one, you know, and I believe that's probably true. We've got so many goofy people and goofy things going on that, but, you know, I said to the mayor, I said, you know, for a little city, she did the right thing. She put all these people together as a team. She didn't try to be the all wisdom herself. Yeah. And I hope someone someday scribes what happened and how it happened, because as they kept saying before, and even in your business, there's no manual for this. You know, this is an anomaly.
There is not.
Said, and we always did in my former life, practice universal precautions, but I wasn't even sure they were strong enough for this. You know, I have a lung disease, and my doctors told me
that's
like that 3 weeks.
Fear.
Wow. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So, listen, I don't care. You want to give us some contact information. What's the phone number?
Sure. And, sure. So you can reach us. You can reach us at the funeral home's phone number is 413-445-5988. And then we also have a website with, I think it has a pretty good amount of information for folks, whether at need or pre-need planning. So it's just Devanny, Devanny hyphen Condron, Condron.com.
And I encourage folks to do that, to look in. You know, it's not a pleasant thing. I'll be very candid with everybody. My wife and I, we're looking at the military cemetery in Bourne.
Beautiful.
We
just were there a few weeks ago for my grandfather's service.
Isn't that beautiful? I mean, really and truly, it's. But it's not a popular topic. But it's a topic, I think the more planning you can do in advance, the less burden it will be on your family. And that's what we're looking at now. You know, so Carolyn, I can't thank you enough. And I have to tell the folks, Carolyn is at the beach doing this. I would like to go to the beach, but I have work to do around the house. But seriously,
that's
Carolyn,
right.
Thank you so much for doing this. And folks, again, shop locally, eat locally, buy locally, get services locally. You know, I just want us to recover from this COVID thing, but I want us all to recover from it. All the businesses, all the people. And I hope this helps. We're going to spotlight others. Carolyn, I can't thank you enough. Enjoy yourself at the beach, and I'll be mowing the lawn if you cared. But I thought I'd share that with you.
Make sure you drink some water. It's hot out there today, and I appreciate you for listening, taking the time to invite me on. It means a lot, and I hope that this helps answer some questions for people. There's a lot of unknowns still.
It's a difficult time for anyone, any family, any person. So anything we can do to make that time easier, that's kind of what I believe funeral homes do. And I know Carolyn, and I know John Bresnahan, I know all the funeral people. And I will say this, I've lived in other places, and they're not always accommodating and friendly. Sometimes they're a little stiff. But Carolyn, behave yourself. Forget it. But have a good
time. I'm not.
The beach. Yeah, no.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for doing this. We'll catch you soon. Bye. Enjoy.
Talk to you soon. Have a nice day. Enjoy the lawn.
Thank you. Thanks. And to my viewers and listeners, God bless. And remember, let's take care of each other. We got to start doing that. We really do. And thank you for listening. Thanks for being part of this audience. Thanks for understanding why we're doing this. We want to support all local businesses, big and small. If you have a local business, you want to get an interview, you can give me a call at 413-441-9998 and we'll chat. Local business, locally owned. There we go. God bless. Take care of each other. And thank you so very much for listening and viewing. You mean a lot to me and to all of us at WTBR and PCTV. Bye-bye. I'll keep on.